Do the tough things first.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline. Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, and today's guest host.
Good morning, Ray. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking, Paul.
You and I worked at Micrel for 16 years, and it didn't seem like 16 years. It went by very fast. In that time, it became real clear that you and I share a passion for technology and entrepreneurialism. We used to brainstorm and discuss management issues. We had a lot of great discussions. So I want to continue those great discussions for people in the audience here. Today, I want to talk about the American dream, entrepreneurial success. Do you think the American dream is still alive?
Absolutely. There's no question that any entrepreneur, or you wouldn't be an entrepreneur if you didn't have that belief that somehow or another, you, your company, you will be a success in your venture. So that's still at the forefront of what an entrepreneur is.
I do too. I think it's still alive. Many people think also that the system's rigged and it's impossible to become an entrepreneur. Do you think that you have to be part of some privileged family or have some special start?
No. I was born and raised on a cattle ranch, oldest of 11 children, and never crossed my mind that I had to be some privileged individual. My family was not well off. I didn't go to a big name school. I graduated from Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah. Got my master's in business at San Jose State. So not part of the Ivy League or the big name schools, or didn't have a father that was able to help me in any way. In fact, my father passed away when I was 26. I was just newly married. Left my mother to take care of 9 children at home, and it was difficult for her, and I had to help support my family at the same time raising my own family. My daughter had just been born, and my first child, and I was in a hole, I mean, financially. So I didn't have any privileged access to a business or capability to start a business. So the answer is no, you don't have to be privileged. In fact, some of the more underprivileged people are more successful than those who are privileged because they want it more. In other words, they're willing to strive harder to get what they want.
We see a lot of that in people who immigrate to this country, don't we?
Exactly. You know, the desire to succeed doesn't come because you're privileged. The desire to succeed comes from your heart. It comes from how bad you want it. And so if you're willing to put forth the effort and try to make it in this cold, cruel world, as they say, you can do it.
You actually had kind of a negative loan, right? Some people think, you know, you need that seed money. But as you were telling your story about what happened in your family life, you had a negative loan, right?
Well, in the sense of the word that I was helping my parents or my mother and my siblings, is that what you're referring to?
Well, you had some debt to deal with. It wasn't your debt. You inherited some debt.
Well, and in the sense of the word that I had to help my father was bankrupt at the time he passed away, but I didn't share that debt personally. It's just that I had to help my mother with raising my brothers and sisters.
And it's probably what's made you such a great leader today. You know how to deal with people and keep everything running smooth with all the different personalities that you have to manage. When you started Micrel, the semiconductor field, from a young person's perspective like me, you know, me only being 49, it seems like the semiconductor field was young and booming, and that kind of seems to be fading. What's your vision of the modern American dream? Is it still, we talked about the fact that it's still alive, but has it morphed? Has it changed? Do you see it different than you used to?
Well, certainly times change everything. So, you know, technology changes. We're a different state. When I started in the industry in 1963, the industry was only like 7 years old, and we had to make our own equipment. You couldn't procure it from the outside, and the technology was very, very new. We were making transistors as opposed to integrated circuits, and the environment was different. You know, different political environment. After the Korean War, and so a little different in that respect. So time does modify and change the way we do business, but you know, as they say, you have to move with the cheese. And so as time moved forward and the industry began to mature, we had to mature with the industry. Back when I started my Krell in 1978. There was only a couple of foundries even around. And so now there are hundreds of foundries, and an engineer along with maybe a layout person or two can now design a semiconductor circuit, get it produced completely through these outside wafer foundries as well as assembly capability, and go into business as a semiconductor company with hardly any investment at all. So as long as that person's willing to put in the blood, sweat, and tears, he can create a circuit for next to nothing. And so it's, in some respects, it's much easier to get into the semiconductor industry now than it was then. Now, the problem is, how big can you get, and can you solicit customers to buy your product if you're only a company of one or two? That's the issue. But you can get into business much easier than when I started in the industry back in 1963. It was, if you couldn't produce it, you couldn't make it. But now all those foundries are available, and you can literally produce an IC or an integrated circuit very inexpensively.
We know guys that have, this isn't just an idea. We know people that have done that, right? Just a couple of guys.
Well, let's look at the facts. You know, back in the time frame that I joined Fairchild in '63, there were only a handful of semiconductor companies, maybe five. When I went public in 1994, my Krell went public on the NASDAQ stock exchange. There were less than 200. Today, there are over 1,000 semiconductor companies. So you can see that the technology, the availability of foundries and outside services has allowed these engineers to start these companies very easily. Now, where it was impossible to do that back in 1963 or even in 1978 when I started my Krell. So in some respects, it's gotten easier. In other respects, it's gotten more difficult because trying to convince a customer to buy your part, your chip, as a company of one or two is difficult because they don't want to take the chance that you'll go out of business. And then they're stuck with having to redesign their board to accommodate a new circuit or different circuit. So in that respect, it's more difficult, but much easier to get into business, more difficult to get scale. So, and with all the M&A activity now in the industry, it looks more like companies are consolidating rather than diversifying. So anyway, that's my feeling.
You mentioned, you slipped something in there and you said, you got to move with the cheese. I don't know if everybody knows that fable, but man, it's a good one.
Yeah, well, it's a story. It's told about you get used to certain things a certain way, and it's hard to change, and so therefore you might starve to death because you're not willing to move with the cheese.
That's right.
And that's referring to mice looking for the cheese, as you would. But yeah. Anyway,
the mice being in the maze, knowing where the cheese is, going the same route over and over, getting upset that the cheese has moved, but not trying to pick a new route.
Exactly.
And that's perfect to, you know, my question for you. I see a lot of people turning towards software. Maybe that's the new cheese. Do you see software as the new cheese?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because Silicon Valley got its name in, I think, 1968 when Intel became so big and became prominent. And Silicon Valley, of course, is known for its technology. And silicon refers to the wafer, the material that the wafer is made from, is called silicon. And thus the name Silicon Valley, because most of the semiconductor companies got their start here in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. And now most of them are moving out. So there are very few, in fact, maybe one or two semiconductor companies that currently have wafer capability here in Silicon Valley. And so now Silicon Valley looks more like Software Valley than it does Silicon Valley. And maybe they'll change the name in the distant future from Silicon Valley to Software Valley, because certainly software became a possibility because of the integrated circuit. In other words, we really didn't have these software capabilities when, you know, back in the 50s when the semiconductor industry started. But now, because of the technology and the availability of these very complex chips, we can now do some very sophisticated software development, and that's what you're seeing today happening in Silicon Valley, because it is the hotbed of technology.
So when we think of that maze analogy, we think of a lot of obstacles. There's all these things in our way, and people oftentimes, not all the time, but sometimes, really look at their obstacles as the only thing, and they don't see any paths. We all have obstacles. These obstacles can be in our culture and in ourselves. So what obstacles do you see stand in the way of the American dream with respect to the individual and with respect to our culture?
Well, it's a matter of how you view the obstacle. If you view it as a barrier, of course, you're going to retreat. Some people are risk averse and have no business going into business because of that risk averseness. So if you look at the obstacle as a little straw or bump in the road, then you just take it in stride and move forward. So again, depending upon how you view that obstacle determines how successful you're going to be. You know, as they say, adversity is like manure. It stinks, but it helps us grow. So, you know, having adversity is part of the way we develop and we become better. It's not that we won't make mistakes. It's how do we overcome those mistakes is the key. And some people become stymied and feel they don't have that capability, and therefore they shouldn't try to go into business.
Do you feel like somebody's born an entrepreneur, or can they develop those skills that you're talking about?
Well, I think they're natural athletes, and then therefore I could say they're probably natural entrepreneurs. Some people just have that natural knack to run companies and to and develop ideas that they can then go out and market. So yes, I think that there are people who are more natural at being an entrepreneur than others, just like there some people are more natural athletes than others.
Okay, now I want to stretch this. I want to have you imagine your new mission is to go off to Mars, colonize, and never come back to Earth. In those parting moments in speaking to the people of Earth, what would your parting advice be for that next generation of entrepreneurs?
Well, it goes back to the concept of never giving up. If you have the tenacious drive to overcome any obstacle, whether you're trying to launch yourself to Mars or you're going to just stay in your backyard, you know, you have to have that drive to get you to from point A to point B. And so my advice to those who have that drive and that urgency is to, number one, learn to do the tough things first, which goes to my book that I wrote back in November of 2015, which you can now find, by the way, on audiobooks, is a good start, because learning to do the tough things first is, again, overcoming adversity. And so that would be my parting words to those who are going to stay on Earth. Learn to do the tough things first.
Yeah, well, you you documented that in a fine book. So those are, that's a great set of parting words. If they have nothing else, they can listen to this podcast. You left a great legacy. Thanks a lot, Ray. I really appreciate the time that you spent with me today.
Thanks, Paul.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.